Thanks for listening to the Revival Today podcast with Evangelist Jonathan Shuttlesworth. To stay connected, check us out on Instagram, Facebook, or online at revivaltoday.com. Now, here's Evangelist Jonathan.
Well, welcome to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, as we continue this great series, The Art of Spiritual Warfare, 21 Keys to Prevail in Every Battle of Life. And today is part five, and we're picking up on what number, Lyric? I'll wait till she puts that up there. While she does, I'm going to read to you Deuteronomy 2, 24. The Lord said, "Now get moving. Cross the Arnon Gorge. Look, I will hand over to you Sihon the Amorite, king of Heshbon, and I will give you his land." In the King James, it says, "I have given you his land. Now engage him in battle and begin to possess it." Good to see you, Jake, Janeth on the app, Lyric, Timothy, Leslie, Alice on YouTube, Brian, Cartier, and Crystal on Facebook, and everybody else. So glad that you're here. We are live today. I'm glad that you're with us. Again, if you're joining us for the first time, I would encourage you to watch the first four parts of this. This is for, hey, Trinity, you have a great sense of humor. Julia on Instagram. I would encourage you to watch the other ones. These are mindset. Hey, Marcy, a lot of great people on today. Sarah. These are mindset and action points that when you're going through a battle, how do you win? Number one, you can win every time. I'll make you the head and never the tail, above, hey Vera, and never beneath. You can win every time. No man, Joshua chapter 1, no man will be able to stand against you as long as you live. Number two, there's mindset things that you need, and then there's action points that you need, and we've been going through those. So you said 16 we're on? Sorry, I don't know how I forgot already. Thanks, Lyric. 16. I'm going to need, when we put this into a book, I'm going to need somebody to do some research and send me some proper scriptures that we could use as the scripture for this, but I don't have one offhand. Maybe somebody will have them from the comments. I wanted to talk to you about pregnancy pains being a springboard to action. I want to talk to you what I mean by that. Many times, God will use an irritation to get you moving. Some of you that bought your first home, show of emoji hands if you've bought a home. What made you go from renting an apartment to buying a home? At some point, you were not happy with your landlord. I'm hoping it's a pimple on my finger. Hoping it's not the old MP, monkeypox. Father God, I just bind monkeypox, that ridiculous sounding disease. Jesus' name, amen. You got fed up with your neighbors, and at some point you said, "We need to move." Pay attention when you're irritated. You used to love living somewhere. Now, something's getting on your nerves. A lot of times, yeah, there are times you have to stand and fight and run people off the land. Run people off that are enemies, taking the thing that God gave you. But sometimes, God will use irritation, like pregnancy pains, that it's time to birth the baby. It gets you moving. You've had enough. You've been pushed too far. I can't take this anymore. That's not a time to get discouraged. You're going to have to make a decision about two things. It's either time to stand and fight, or is it God, like a pearl being produced by the irritation inside the shell? Is God using this to thrust me into my destiny? Is the reason I'm so up, like, I'm bothered by where I'm at, because it's time to move forward? I would pay attention to that. Janet, that's a good one. Jonah might be the best story to illustrate that. So to whoever's putting this in book form, let's use one of the scriptures from Jonah. So when things feel wrong, rather than get discouraged, that no, maybe the reason you got a new neighbor and they're very irritating, they call noise complaints or whatever at your house. You say, man, I'm sick of this. Maybe God has you headed up to a bigger house. You live in an apartment, a bunch of drug dealers moved in, you have a 2-year-old kid. Maybe, and you say, man, I don't want to raise my kid here. Maybe that irritation is a signal. God's allowing it to become a signal to you to move forward. Gina said, don't resist like Jonah or the pains will get worse. Alice said, I'm going through this right now. Explain. You don't have to throw anybody under the bus, but I'd like to hear. Pregnancy pains as a springboard to your destiny. That was 16, 17. If you're in leadership position, while you're going through a battle, you need, as the leader, to keep the narrative positive. You need to stay positive, and you as a leader have a duty to make things positive and keep people in a positive frame of mind. I'm going to give you a scripture. My phone. I think I need to update it. Man, the keyboard's not working. Just as of like this morning. 1 Samuel 30. Verse 1. 1 Samuel 31. Daniel said it's really hard as a leader because there's so much pressure to stay positive and have answers. Yes, stay positive and have answers. 3 days later, my grandfather, A.E. Shuttlesworth, that was in the ministry 60 years, said, when you don't know what to do, take over. So I'm glad you wrote that, Daniel, because it's very important. 3 days later, when David and his men arrived home at their town of Ziklag, they found the Amalekites had made a raid into the Negev and Ziklag. They had crushed Ziklag and burned it to the ground. They had carried off their women and children and everyone else, but without killing anyone. When David and his men saw the ruins and realized what had happened to their families, they wept until they could weep no more. David's two wives, Ahinoam and Abigail, were among those captured. David was now in great danger. I'll tell you, that lady Abigail is a slept-on Bible character. She had one interesting life. She was married to that idiot Nabal, then has that encounter with David, gets married to David, the king, and then gets captured in battle. That lady lived a very interesting life. David was now in great danger because all, listen to this now. David was now in great danger, 1 Samuel 36, because all his men were very bitter about losing their sons and daughters, and they began to talk of stoning him. But David found strength in the Lord. Then David prays and gets a plan of action. Actually, I'll read that too. Then he said to Abiathar the priest, bring me the ephod. So Abiathar brought it. Then David asked the Lord, should I chase after this band of raiders? Will I catch them? And the Lord told him, yes, go after them. You will surely recover everything that was stolen from you, or in the King James, pursue, overtake, and recover all. You can write those four words down. Pursue, overtake, and recover all. That was God's direction to him. Pursue, overtake, and recover all. So David and his 600 men set out, and they came to the brook Bezor. But 200 of the men were too exhausted to cross the brook. So David continued the pursuit with 400 men. Along the way, they found an Egyptian man in the field. Anyway, they have success just like the Lord said. Now, what stopped the talk of David's men of killing him? I mean, picture this. You're in David's battalion. You're under David's leadership. And because of David's leadership, or lack of leadership, in their mind, imagine, your wife and kids are gone. They were taken by ISIS. And it was that man that's in charge who's to blame. Well, I just lost my whole family. I'm going to kill you. That's their thinking. What stopped them from thinking that? A plan of action forward. Listen, we're going to pursue them. The Lord spoke to me. We're going to catch up to them, and we're going to get everything back. You're going to get all your wives and all your children back. And then you don't read anything more about talk of stoning. So in my mind, not only is that what stopped the talk of stoning, what's responsible for the talk of stoning? No course of action, no plan. As a leader, you have to give the people under you a plan forward. If you're in between buildings as a pastor, people are willing to put up with some temporary discomfort if they know there's a plan forward. Never make a plan to go backwards. You know, right now we may have to go back into a hotel ballroom. No, don't do that. Don't go backwards. Pursue, overtake, and recover all. And give people a plan forward. What if David would have just said that from the beginning? Our wives and kids aren't here. Everybody saddle up. We're going to get them back right now. Well, now there's no time to sit around talking about killing the leader. But if you go silent, if you take an 8-month sabbatical, no telling what you're going to come back to. You as the leader have to continually be showing everybody the path forward. And you shouldn't be having to make it up. We're commanded to be fruitful, increase, and multiply. So you're to have that from God and show people where you're headed. We started Revival Today Church this year. A lot of you have followed us, whether you live here in Pittsburgh or whether you follow from afar, from the beginning. I've had us on a march to 1,000 people. And then hiccups that we've hit in parking and other things, I've told the people exactly how we're going to handle it, and everything is a step up. Anything the devil's trying to throw at you to make you have to take a step backward, find a plan from God to make it backfire. We were using the parking lot across the street from this church, and we've hit some hiccups with that. So we have another parking lot we're using that's further away. In the natural, that would make people, any small thing will make people not want to come to church. So if they have to walk further or park further, so what did I do? If you were here last week at church, I had stretch SUV limos to shuttle people from the lot and back, and told people I'd have it for them, and it was our highest attended service since Easter. It turned a challenge or something negative into a major positive. People were taking pictures, but people had fun. And that's the fun of being a leader. You get hit with these challenges, and then you get it like David did. You get from God, how do I turn this thing around for my good? If all things are scripturally mandated to work together for my good, since I love God and I'm called according to his purpose, then Father, show me how to flip this situation around. Communicate forward movement to your people. If there's a challenge, I'll give you an example. When COVID hit and the stock market had crashed, and some ministries had already preemptively laid off a third of their staff, I'm sure the people that worked for our ministry were nervous. So I called them all in and I said, just so you know, nobody is going to lose their job or have their salary reduced during this health thing. How was I supposed to guarantee that? But you do it. It's your job as a leader. If you stay quiet, that's what gives room for Absaloms to rise up and start creating their own narrative. I haven't talked to Jonathan in a couple weeks. Yeah, I know. And I'm wondering if I'm going to get fired. You know, and people start making other plans. Keep vocal leadership in front of your people, business or ministry. Otherwise, people start coming up with their own insane ideas of what's going on and more insane ideas of how to deal with it. Most problems in life can be solved by one conversation. Not all problems, but most problems. You know, if you get hit by a bus, you need urgent medical care. It can't be solved by a conversation. But most problems, especially leadership problems, can be solved with one conversation. It's easy to hate someone that you're not in proximity of. Then you meet them. Oh, they're actually not that bad. There's very few people that you didn't like or you heard something negative about and didn't like them and then met them and still didn't like them. You build this person up in your head from what people told you. And then when you meet them, it's a different story. So it's good to stay as a leader. You need to, I'm telling you, all this sabbatical stuff is a mess. I would never do it. You can't take 6 months off as a leader. You can't take 3 months off as a leader. I don't know if you could take 3 weeks off as a leader. That would be pushing it. Keep the narrative positive. And I'm not talking about lying. You should have a forward direction regardless of what challenges there are. That was 17, correct? 18. Principle number 18. Only fight your enemy. Only fight your enemy. Don't allow the fight to affect your family. You have to learn as a leader to switch gears. I had to learn that. It's not good for my marriage if I talk to my wife in the same voice I used to cast a demon out of somebody. And I would do that. I would get out of church and had just cast a devil out of somebody, and I'm in that mode. And we'd go home and I go, make me some coffee. You know, I don't mean it like that, but I'm in that mode. It's not the most loving voice. It doesn't make for the most positive marriage. So when you're in fight mode, when you're going through a battle in life, you have to learn when you come home to switch gears. Spend time with your children at peace. You know, there comes a time when you do your fighting for the day and you just turn your phone off or don't take texts or calls from certain people the rest of the day. Pick it up tomorrow. You can't stay in fight mode 24 hours a day. fight everybody. What good would it be to win your battle but lose your family? So if you win, if you're in an 8-month legal battle, 14-month legal battle, and you prevail, but it strained your marriage. You found yourself fighting all the time. That's immaturity. Hard to admit as a man, but it is. When you're letting something work you up so much that you're yelling at people that have nothing to do with the fight, you're telling your 6-year-old kid, keep it down up there. They're playing in their own home. You have to learn how to fight only your enemy. Love your wife, love your children, and God will help you with that. But most people can't do that. They're either a super great husband and father, but they suck at fighting. They're just a pushover. The city said that we can't use the building for that. The city said that we can't have that land to do that. I've lost track of the amount of pastors who have told me we wanted to do an outreach, but the city said they didn't. They wouldn't allow us to use a park to do an evangelistic outreach. That's not even legal. If you rent a park out to somebody for something, you have to rent it out for anything within the bounds of the law. So they're either super nice guys that are nice all the time and get pushed over, or they're fighters who never lose a battle, but their marriage is on the rocks or over, and their children hate them. You must learn to switch gears. Fight when it's time to fight, and when it's not time to fight anymore, quit fighting. Number 19. So number 18, only fight your enemy. Number 19. Don't become a negative person. Number 19, don't become a negative person. Now, we talked about allowing the fight to affect your relationship with your family. You can also allow your fight to affect you without knowing it. There's quite a few pastors that during COVID had to keep their, you know, kept their church open and were under a barrage of an attack for 18 months. And now in America, you know, whether you want to say it's over or it's been paused, that pressure's not there anymore. The Department of Health's not closing churches down or threatening to close churches down, or the governor saying that they're going to take action against your church. That ended. But if you talk to those pastors now, the 18 months they've had to go through that just made them a negative person. This city doesn't like me, I'll tell you that much. No pastors in this area like me, I'll tell you that much. You have to remember, when Satan attacks, he's not just looking to win that battle. He's looking to steal, kill, and destroy. So even if you win the battle, but it's destroyed your joy, you're not an enjoyable person to be around anymore. You have negative, you know, I'm just very disappointed in the state of the American church. Nobody's kept their church open during COVID except me. No, lots of people did. Don't become a negative person. Keep your joy in the fight. Keep your joy after the fight. There's people that are so negative after all the battling they've done that they can't even receive victory anymore. Anytime you tell them good news that's happening in the nation, yeah, we'll see how long that lasts. Hey, did you hear that they're doing away with this law that was against the church? Yeah, They say they are, but then they'll regroup. Trust me, they'll try it again. Well, you're a real pleasure to be around. Don't allow your battle to turn you into a negative person. Stay positive. You should be fun to be around. You should make people laugh. Good scripture, Landon. May you be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might for all endurance and patience with joy. Colossians 1:11. We'll use that for the scripture. You guys are a big help. It's like having an audience / research department. How many of you know people like that? They didn't get vaccinated. They didn't get boosted. They wouldn't wear masks. They kept their business open or their church open. But the 18 months of doing that, they're not the same. They're not happy people. Anybody besides me met anybody like that? Number 20. Good morning, Ron. Write this word down. Buffers. B-U-F-F-E-R-S. I'm going to tell you how to stay a practical way to stay in victory. Maybe the most practical of all these keys I'm giving you. Think like this. If I was the devil, how would I attack my ministry? If I was the devil, how would I attack my business? You understand, demons can't just come and load your church into a demon U-Haul and carry it off. God has to use people. The heavens are the Lord's, but the earth he's given to men. And Satan has to use people. People don't buy drugs from demons. So there's demonized people like Sanballat and Tobiah in the book of Nehemiah that try to find a way to take you down. What are the ways, if I was the devil, I would attack my business or ministry? Let's do ministry since I know that the most, and most of these will apply to business. Number one way in America, in most countries, my finances. And by that, financial discrepancies. So, how do I put a buffer? So, like, if this book is the devil and he wants to steal, kill, and destroy from me, I represent me. How do I put a buffer in between the devil and me to keep him from being able to do what he wants to do? Finances? I've told Patrick, make sure our paperwork is such that if an FBI agent walked in and said, you have 1 week to submit your financial forms because we believe you've been doing fraud, say, oh no, I don't need a week here. And there's not one shady thing going on. So the finance way is the first way they come after you in the ministry and most businesses. So you make sure everything's clean financially. You find out what the laws are and go above what the law requires. No gray areas. Don't ever, and I don't want to get off topic in this, never do what you hear a lot of people say. Well, you know, technically you're not allowed to do that, but I've never heard of them checking on that. I don't know any businesses that don't do that. Yeah. When you're small, people don't care what you're doing. But if you start getting to the Elon Musk level, or half the Elon Musk level, or a 15% of where Elon Musk is at, they're going to care. They're going to find every law they can possibly find. Remember in the book of Daniel, before they made the law that he couldn't pray, the Bible says they found any possible way before that that they could find a violation to have him arrested. No, I didn't say to be open and transparent with your finances as a ministry. You don't have to do that. It's nobody's business. I'm saying have everything perfect. I don't go up to where they count the offerings when I'm done preaching and take a fistful of hundreds and take people out to lunch. I don't use my ministry credit card to buy personal meals or personal gas. Buffer. We do a self audit every year with an external accounting firm. So the IRS is just going to waste their money if they go to audit me. I've already been audited and passed. So if you want to do it again, knock yourself out. And that accountant doesn't go to my church, doesn't have anything to do with my ministry. So he'll tell us. He would tell us, you know, don't do this. You know, I wouldn't do that if I were you. And we listen. We don't pay anybody under the table. Because if I was the devil, I would have people on my construction team. I'd send somebody in and have them record that they were paid under the table. They didn't have any documentation for the work, and I'd turn me in. So think, if I was the devil, what would I do? If I was the devil, I'd send somebody in to shoot up my church. So there's buffers in place that could never happen. You'd never get the weapon out of its holster or wherever you were holding it. We don't allow backpacks in the sanctuary. Buffers. You go to many churches and you realize they've never given 1 minute of thought to any of these things. Finances, safety of the people. You know, that's why there's catchers when you lay hands on people. People say, well, if that's of the Holy Spirit, why do you even have to catch them? Because there's people that come into prayer lines to fall over and say they were injured and sue the church. That's why. Safety. If I was the devil, I'd send some lady in to make sexual harassment claims against me and end my ministry. So my life is set up where nobody can ever say they were in a room with me with no witnesses. Or video, in a room with video cameras. And I just want to bring this up for the pastors that are watching, because you have a lot to say, oh yeah, nobody would ever shoot my church up either. Probably half our people are armed. That's not a plan. Somebody comes in and starts firing shots. Your ministry's... And then you're going to have a bunch of people stand up and start cross-firing back? That's not an organized plan, that you have people packing firearms, sitting in their seats, eyes up on the platform, somebody comes in from the back. It's a problem. It's a problem if somebody can get one shot off. There's no church anymore. You're delinquent as a leader if people can come in off the street and make it to your sanctuary without ever having to go past anybody. I'm not saying pat it down, but I'm saying somebody that's... It's one of the worst things that we learned as Christians was to assume the best of everybody. Think the best of everybody. If you ever said anything bad, I think that youth pastor might be gay. Hey, he's a good guy. Don't say stuff like that about people. Not that you're to go around accusing people. But we were taught as Christians basically to just think everybody's a good person and has a good heart deep down. You know, that's totally contrary to Scripture. There are wicked, demonized people that their goal in life is to take you out. And you need to be able to recognize them. Who counts? Let me give you a couple for business. And some will apply for ministry. Who counts your money? Who handles your money? I was preaching and the Holy Spirit spoke to the pastor I was preaching for. I think the lady who counts our offerings is stealing the money. I said, who counts it with her? Oh, she counts it by herself. Well, you've set up a problematic system. There should be a minimum of 9 people that are in charge of counting the offering, and they're on rotations where 2 or 3 count the offering together. I would say no less than 3. It's very hard to get 9 people in out of a church on theft. So if you're constantly mixing who's counting, one person can't partner up with another person. There's some churches, they have the same 2 people count the offering every Sunday. Not intelligent. So anyway, this guy said, I think the lady steals our money. She counts it and she does the deposit on Monday. But I don't know what to do. And the Lord gave me a plan. I said, tell her you're going to have someone else count the money and do the deposit to free her up for the other stuff that you're getting ready to add to the church that requires more of her time. That's kind of like elementary stuff, and you're just going to have somebody else do that part-time. That as a paid staff, you don't need to be doing menial work like that. Like it's a promotion. I said, if she says, oh, thank you, you know she wasn't stealing. If she gets angry that you're giving her one less thing to do, you'll know she's a thief. Sure enough, he told her she didn't have to count the offerings anymore. Real nice, you know. I'm having somebody else do the deposit to make it easier on you so you can do this, this, and this instead that's more important. She got mad. Yeah, you took a source of income away from her. If you always think the best of everybody, you're going to get killed. If 3 guys with hooded sweatshirts are following me at 11 o'clock at night downtown with their hoods up, I don't think, well, you know, you don't want to think bad about people. No, I'm assuming you're three. I was telling my daughter yesterday, not to freak her out, but we were stopped at a red light in downtown Pittsburgh, and there were a bunch of troubled-looking people on the side by the crosswalk. I said, now, if they start walking towards our car, you have to assume they're going to do harm. And I said, I'm telling you this for when you're older and driving. When you're stopped at a red light, don't go to sleep or start checking your text messages. I said, especially if you're in a city at night, keep your head on a swivel. And if people are coming that look like they're going to do you harm, a little lesson I learned playing Grand Theft Auto. No need to get out of the car. The car can be a weapon. But if you stay sharp, one thing you're going to notice about the devil, he doesn't like attacking protected things. He attacks soft targets. All these churches that get shot up, they don't have any security or anything. We never thought anything like this would ever happen. You know, in the early 2000s, when nothing like that had ever happened in America, I guess I could see somebody saying, I never thought something like this would happen. But you know, after the 100th church shooting, maybe you should start thinking it could happen. Buffers. How many times do you walk past a kiosk or a store? And I'm asking you this. This is not rhetorical. How many times do you walk past a kiosk or a store in the mall, and there's the person that's the salesperson or whatever is just sitting there on their phone? They're supposed to be selling. That's what they're getting paid for. You go past some of those kiosks, and those people are like mosquitoes. Sir, I got something for you. Come here. No, don't walk away. They won't leave you alone. I mean, they accost you like pickpockets. Then you have other people just sit there and text. Don't look up. Go to some stores, they're closing down an hour before closing time. I went to get a coffee at a place in the mall here, and I went to order a latte. Oh, we've already taken the espresso machine down and cleaned it for the night. Okay, well, you don't close for another hour, and it is a coffee store. I'm not asking for you to make me a cake. So I bring that up because if you're going to own something, you better monitor it. You think of it, I walk by those kiosks or those stores, and I think, man, somebody has their life invested in that. Them and their wife had to go get a loan, borrow against the value of their home to make a go of this business, and you put some 20-year-old in charge, 24-year-old, that doesn't give two poos about you and your family, and they're not. You obviously never come by and check your own business. Put buffers in place and monitor. And I'll say this while I'm on this one. Write this down. People change. People change. I know that's a real deep revelation I'm giving you, but I'm going to tell you what I mean. People change. Was Judas demon-possessed when Jesus made him a disciple? No. A demon entered into Judas at the tail end of the 3.5 years he was with Jesus. So you can hire somebody that's an honest person. They were great when you hired them. People get wrapped up in pornography. People get wrapped up in drugs. People get wrapped up in alcohol, and it changes them. I could hire somebody for this ministry that's honest and would never steal money. But if they get hooked on cocaine or heroin, and I don't know anything about it, they'll start stealing money. You have to keep an eye on people. I've told our ministry leadership, keep an eye on people that find a way to miss prayer every afternoon. There's behaviors people have when they get into sin They avoid the anointing. Diana said you should always tell your employees when you're stopping by and mix it up. No, I wouldn't tell them. If I had a kiosk in the mall, I'd take a stroll through the mall randomly. And if that person was on their phone, they would be dismissed that second. I'm talking about my staff. I'm not saying keep an eye on members that don't come to prayer. I'm talking about because they're all in the building. So if someone's always volunteering to work, you should watch that as a pastor. There's some guys, they're not even saved. They go to church every Sunday, but they work on the sound team. They always find a way to not sit down and hear the word. Volunteer to stand by the umbrellas. Keep an eye on people that can't sit in the anointing. Get nervous, have to get up and go to the bathroom 3 times during the preaching. Oh, I figured that's what you meant, Diana. Buffers. If I was the devil, how would I attack my life, my business, and ministry, and then put something in place? I've been to top churches. I've been to churches that have as good of security and a program for security as our church. I've never been to one better. You couldn't have better. Why? Why is Jesus going to entrust his sheep to a shepherd who makes no provision for wolves? No provision to deal with wolves. Jesus is the head of the church. He doesn't want sheep being slaughtered. He wants them being protected. You're in Logan, West Virginia, Brad? I didn't know that. I thought you were up further north. I'll see you tonight then. All right, let's keep moving. Number 21. This is an action point. Proverbs 11:25. Are you enjoying today? I hope you are. I was going to say it's one of the secrets of the success of Chick-fil-A If you own a Chick-fil-A, you have to work there as the owner 40 hours a week. So if you own a Burger King, you can open up a Burger King in Pittsburgh, move to Fort Lauderdale, Florida, put a manager in charge, and just have the checks come to you. So you don't even know what's going on at the store. But if you're there as the owner, you're not going to have people there out of uniform talking to people on the drive-thru. Hello, what do you want? We're out of that. We're out of that too. No, no, you wouldn't have that as the owner. So the owner's on site at a Chick-fil-A. Now everything should make sense why Chick-fil-A is the way it is and the other fast food restaurants are the way they are. The employees act like the owner's there. And at the other places, the employees act like the owner's not there. Arby's just had a manager pee in the, what, milkshake machine? You're not going to do that when the owner's there. Guard what the Lord's given you. 21. Proverbs 11, 25. The generous will prosper. Those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed. Those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed. Number 21, the law of encouragement. When you're going through a battle, it's easy to get discouraged. So what's the way to make sure you never become discouraged? Anything you need, sow for it. If you want friends, show yourself friendly. Sow the seed of friendship. You require money, sow money. If you're going through a discouraging time, go out of your way to encourage and refresh as many people as you can. And Proverbs 11:25 says, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. I'd be careful going around telling people I've been discouraged lately. You're letting people know you don't encourage anybody. It's impossible to lack the thing that you sow. When I've gone through some battles, I'll go on social media and just start messaging random preachers that I've never talked to before, but that I like. You're doing a great job. I've always enjoyed your gospel music. I've been listening to it since I was 14. Great job. Just start finding people to encourage. Whatever you need, sow. And during a battle, where you battle discouragement, that's the time to go out of your way to refresh and encourage as many people as you can, because you're the one that will reap the benefit. Number 21, utilize the law of encouragement. 22. Let's see how many more we have. Might be able to finish. Might have to go one more day. Number 22. If you're going to make mistakes, make them being aggressive. If you're going to have to face consequences, make them be consequences due to your aggression. I would get that mindset. The pastors during the COVID pandemic that defied the unconstitutional orders under threat of arrest and losing their church, even if they got arrested, which very few did, most of the time they never showed up, but even if they got arrested, the church is booming now. The finances are booming. If you're going to face consequences, make them consequences for your aggression. That's the principle of David and Goliath. You're going to face consequences either way. Do you want it to be from failing to fight Goliath and having the Philistines make you their slaves? Or make up your mind like David did. All right, if I'm going to die, I'll die. But I'm not dying as a slave. I'm going to die as somebody that confronted the one who wanted to enslave me. Do it in wisdom. Don't do it recklessly. But make up your mind. If I fail, it's going to be failing because I went too far forward, not failing because I was afraid to move forward and retreated. Please get that in your spirit. It's actually dangerous to be safe. As we learned from David and Goliath, it's safest on the battlefield. The place of safety is the place of confronting your adversary. Want to hear the kind of tidbit that you get from like better ministers than me? But I actually have one. When I was in Arizona a few weeks ago, I got a book on tape, and then I listened to the shortened version of it that was on YouTube. There's a lake called Lake Powell, P-O-W-E-L-L, Lake Powell. It was named after a man named J.W. Powell. He had one arm. No one had ever mapped the Grand Canyon before. I might have shared this at the beginning of this series, but I'm sharing it again. I'll share it a lot because it's like the only anecdote I have. No one had ever mapped the Grand Canyon because it was too difficult of terrain. I mean, even when you go there now, you think like, man, how did anyone roll up on this with their horse and go like, you know what? I'm not stopping. Let's go. Well, no one had ever crossed it or mapped it. So the Colorado River goes down, the Green River that turns into the Colorado River goes down there. So he took 10 guys and 4 canoes, put it in the Colorado River. They had no idea if there was a Niagara Falls type situation somewhere there. Just said, we're going for it. We're going to see what's here, this place no one's ever mapped. The last unmapped place in the United States. They said the rapids got worse every day until there were 9 guys left. I'm trying to think what happened to the one guy. But there were 9 guys left, and 3 of them had decided it would be suicide if we keep going down this river in these canoes. The rapids are getting worse every day. We barely made it this last time, and the rapids look worse up ahead. So I'm out. So 3 quit and decided they were going to hike up the Grand Canyon and find the nearest Mormon village. And the other 6 decided to go the rest of the way. The 6 that didn't quit, that went through the intense rapids, made it out uninjured with their rotten food and everything else, sunburned. And the 3 that played it safe made it up out of the Grand Canyon and then were killed by Native Americans. One of the Native American women had been raped. They assumed it had been those 3 since they were strangers, though they didn't do it, and they killed them. What does that let you know? Playing it safe. In fact, I'm going to combine this with another point. Don't sell off your destiny for short-term comfort. I know there's some type of base camp for people that want to quit halfway up to Mount Everest. They say the people are the happiest people you'd ever see when they quit. And when everybody comes back down from the summit and they meet him again, they look like they're contemplating suicide. Paid all this money to climb Mount Everest, and you're going to go home and tell everybody you went halfway up because the air was really thin and my chest was starting to hurt. I was hungry, and then my one sock was causing a blister on my foot, which I knew I shouldn't have got these new shoes. You had the chance of a lifetime to climb Mount Everest, and you blew it. You could have... They say, I think I'm going to try to find a way to do it this summer, if it's safe enough to take Camila. But they say the Grand Canyon looks best from the bottom. That guy, J.W. Powell, wrote in his book, it would be like walking down the streets of Manhattan if all the buildings were 600 stories high. They got to see it. They got to be the first ones to see it. And the other guys that quit not only didn't get to see it, they died. I'll tell you what you could get for a scripture for that. Numbers 13 and 14. The 10 spies that thought they were playing it safe died. We can't go in there. We'll die. There's giants there. They all died in the wilderness. And the two that said, if the Lord is with us, we should go at once and take the land and possess it from Jordan to the sea. They didn't die. It's actually safest going forward. When you quit, you know, no one ever says, I quit. I quit. No, you just, well, right now, during this COVID pandemic, we're going to play it safe. I actually believe this is a season where God's restoring the high priesthood of the home back to the Father. This is a season where God wants us to enjoy each other as families. People come up with a lot of creative ways to say, I'm a coward. Nobody ever actually just say, I'm a coward. I quit. I'd love to hear. I wish I could have a recording of all the conversations of people on their way up to Mount Everest that quit or stopped at that base camp and waited for them to come back on the way. You know, I you have to be smart. You know, I could hike. I could finish. I do, but I have a wife and a family. If something happens to me, you know, I work construction. I want to be able to work construction and provide for them. Come up with a million reasons. The safety, it feels safe to quit, but it's actually safest to move forward because there is no anointing to retreat. You never read in the Bible, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David and he ran away. The Spirit of the Lord came upon the Israelites and they hid from the people of Jericho. The anointing is to take ground. And if an enemy rises up and tells you can't have the ground, the anointing is there to defeat that enemy. I will be with you as I was with Moses. I will never fail you. I'll never forsake you. I'll give you good success in everything you do. I'll give you good success in everything you do. Right now, we've outgrown this church. We haven't even been here for 5 full months. It would be easier. Think about it. If I don't make a plan to move forward from here, I'm going to start subconsciously making plans to stay at the level that we're at so that we can fit in the building. That's a danger. You know, we have to be wise. I mean, we just spent a bunch of money to build this place out. We're not going to go get a second place. No, we are going to go get a second place. And then after that, we'll get one that's bigger than that. Because it would actually be dangerous. When you quit moving forward is when you start losing people. The excitement's gone. There's no thrill in the ministry anymore. The thrill is in taking ground. The thrill is in growing your business, not maintaining your business. God's not interested in maintaining. There's two M words. One God's not interested in, one God's very interested in. He's not interested in maintaining. He's interested in multiplying. How could somebody not see during COVID that that was a plan to choke your church out? No one can meet. You think that's going to help your church multiply? Anything that's against your multiplication, God's never in it. I actually make plans to forcefully advance so I can be safe. Because sitting still is death. God's not interested in maintaining what you have. God's interested in multiplying what you have. And you will multiply all this year in Jesus' name. You believe that with me? Father, I thank you for everybody who's watching. I bless them in Jesus' name. I bless your life in Jesus' name. Every challenge you're facing, today the Lord will show you the way forward. You'll never be stuck or stymied again. In Jesus' name. Wherever you've been stopped, you're going to advance past there right now. What you're going through will not stop you from where you're going to, any more than the storm kept Jesus from going over to the other side. You know that guy, J.W. Powell, that led the expedition? He had one arm. He got hit in the elbow with a cannon that shattered his elbow. They cut it off with no anesthetic. So the guys with two arms said, "This is dangerous." The guy with one arm went for it. That shows you it's all about what's in your spirit and your mentality. It actually has nothing to do with your gifts or talents or your body. It's in your spirit and in your mind. So even if you had something happen in your life that blew one of your arms off, literally or metaphorically, not only does it not have to stop you, maybe that's why he was fearless. The things they're afraid of, I already went through. I already got an arm sawed off with no painkillers or anesthetics, so can't scare me. One of the churches that stayed open in Houston, Power of Love Church, want to know one of the reasons they stayed open? All the pastors were afraid they were going to get arrested. Pastor Sandy's husband, Pastor George, had already been dealt with the law. Used to be a drug dealer. He wasn't afraid of jail. So God can actually use things that happened that would be considered negative things and turn them positive, where you don't have fear anymore. I want to mandate you to forcefully move forward the rest of this year. Get a plan from God and attack. Lyric said, what was number 16? Well, did we start on the wrong number? There was the power of fasting and prayer. There was from yesterday or 2 days ago. The multitude of counselors, there's wisdom. And then today we started with the pregnancy pains one. So if we need to adjust the numbers, let me know. Thanks, Timothy. Yeah, 16 was pregnancy pains. Thanks. If you've never given your life to Jesus Christ before, they're going to put a number on the bottom of the screen. Call that and pray with somebody right now. After you pray with them, I'm going to send you a Bible and other materials to welcome you to the family of God. The prayer number on the bottom of the screen. 1-412. Do we have someone from one of those mall kiosks working in the media department today? Oh, the computer's working slow. What do we have, a Tandy 1000? Tell me the number. 412.
440.
1412. 412-440-1412. If you're international, plus 1-412-440-1412. There you go. Get that computer fixed, because it screwed up the video that got played on Sunday morning, too. So if that's two times now, get it fixed. Thanks, John. Nice thing to say. Come see me in West Virginia this weekend. Friday night, Saturday morning, and Saturday night. Beautiful Logan, West Virginia. Word of Life Church. That guy has done a great job. Pastor Josh Van Hook stayed open during COVID. Strong ministry. Oh, we got people from Logan on. I'll see you tonight. Then my place, Sunday morning, Revival Today Church. Then Naples, Florida. Coming up May 29th through June 3rd. Isn't June 3rd the first Friday of the month? It would have to be. Why am I out the first Friday of the month? Listen, whoever is listening to me from our office, I am here for Miracle Service the first Friday of every month. So that will be my last time out on a Friday. First Friday of the month, I'm always here. Make sure I never get booked out again on the first Friday of the month. Oh, you're Pastor Josh Van Hook's mom, Joy. You raised an excellent son. Super nice to be around, but very serious-minded about the ministry. I was just telling another person here in Pittsburgh about how great he is. If you're between the ages of 18 to 35 and you want five-star ministry training, we're launching Revival Today Bible Institute this September. RTBI, RevivalTodayBibleInstitute.com. Please apply today. I'm believing for 100 students to start with in our first class. What was I going to say? Something about the Bible school. Oh, yeah, tuition's $2,000 a year. $2,000 a year. I would have made it free, but the last thing I want is to produce ministers that want free things. We've already had people ask, is there a scholarship? If you start asking for free stuff, go train somewhere else. I'm looking for people that are looking to give. If you can't get faith for $2,000, just go fold sweaters somewhere. Why only 35? Because it'll help keep weirdos away. That's why. It's a school. It's not a middle-aged, you know, and I'm not picking on you, I'm 41, but that's not time for training. Yes, God can call you into the ministry later in life, and you can literally train at any other Bible school. But you can attract a lot of weirdos to Bible school if you're not careful, and I don't want them here. A lot of times there's something wrong if somebody's 51 and can just up and go to school. Why don't you have a wife or a family to provide for? And you end up with that. You have people that take their family to Bible school, then no money. The kids end up hating the ministry. It's not time for that, really. There's exceptions. But let's be honest. If you're 36 and you go to a baseball scout and say, I'm interested in playing Major League Baseball. I'd like to train. They say, the time for that's over, my friend. You should have come here 20 years ago. There's some things that need to be done early in life, all right? Sorry if that hurts your feelings. And it shouldn't discourage anyone, because if you're not in what I'm talking about, if you're not a weirdo and stuff, you got saved when you were 37, like Smith Wigglesworth, you felt called at 40, go train at the River. Arguably a better Bible school. So what's the problem? I don't understand why we do the 18 to 35. You go, well, I feel called and I'm 43, so I guess there's no place for me. No, you don't have to guess. There is no place for you here. And your stupid attitude reinforces why I made the rule. It's 18 to 35. I wanted it to be 18 to 29, just for the record, so. One day I hope I learn to answer questions without getting angry. But it is, you know, ever since we announced that age, we have people write like semi-rebuking emails. So I guess God can't use people that are in their 40s. Well, first of all, he probably won't use you because you're irritating. You want to know something? I'm 41 years old. Anybody want to venture a guess at how many emails I've sent to someone else's ministry that are like rebuking a policy they have? No, Nancy, not here we go. I'll turn it down. Here's the ways you can give. I'm sure that strong rebuke made you feel like, you know what? I want to send this guy some money. No, that's Bible college. Here's the ways you can give. RevivalToday.com, you click Give Now. When's Rom come back from South Dakota? He's up there? Well, it got worse when he came back. Hashtag donate on Facebook. You can text RT to 50155. Gina, you're funny. Funny, come on. Cash App, $RTGive. Venmo, @RTGive. RevivalToday.com/PayPal. If you want to give cryptocurrency, you can do that on RevivalToday.com and click Give Now, or you can scan that QR code if you're watching on your television or a monitor. If you want to mail it, Sean Culpepper said, I'm going to lie about my age. I actually respect that. Now, I might make an exception for you. There's an old saying, if you're not cheating, you're not trying. If you want to send it, Revival Today, P.O. Box 7, Prosperity, Pennsylvania, 15329. If you want to talk to a human being, 412-446-2332, and then claim your offer at RevivalToday.com, claim my offer. So we didn't get through all the points, but we will. Everyone that gives today a seed of any size, I'm going to send you my two newest books that aren't even out yet. But as soon as they are, I'm going to send them to you. 7 Wrong Relationships, that comes out the end of this month. And Everything a Man Should Be comes out just before Father's Day. I'm going to send you both for any size seed. I'm going to throw in with it for those that send $1,000 or more, You're Not Broke, You Have a Seed by Dr. Leroy Thompson. This is the man God used to break me out of poverty when I was in my 20s. This is a great book he wrote. You're Not Broke, You Have a Seed. That's for those that do $1,000 or more, which I'm believing that people will give at that level as we're making some serious moves that I'm not going to get into right now. But I won't get into them. And then, what else? If you do 5,000 or more, I'll sign both books as a way to say an extra thank you. Thank you for giving. Yes, Sarah. No, there's no reason. It's good you're at the river. again, if you're over... Marcy said, our Bible school accepts old, weird people too, if anyone's interested. That's in Montreal. So if you're quintuple vaccinated and you love communism, it'd be a great place to train for the ministry. I will tell you, though, the food is so good in Montreal, it would, you won't even notice the communism, to be honest with you. It's like when I went to California. I used to say, how can anybody in California put up with what goes on here? Then you go there and see how pretty it is. It's like, all right, I get it. Hey, Kamal, go get a horse and go live in the mountains somewhere. And don't comment on my Facebook anymore. Blessings. Love you. Kamal said, everyone love Christ, but no one want to do their Christ duty. Oh, yeah? Nobody's doing anything for the Lord? I hope you hit your shin off a park bench. How's that? Yeah, that's a good idea, Ninja. Maybe we'll just fine people if they're over 35. Tuition's like 50 grand. Kamal, I slay the pride and ego to seek my father mercy. It's not really a sentence, but we're proud of you. Hope you hit your other shin off a park bench. See you for prayer. Hey, this is Jonathan Shuttlesworth. I want to thank you for listening to my podcast, or if you're listening to my wife's, thank you on her behalf. If you want to be more than just a casual listener and stand with us as we take the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ to our generation, go to revivaltoday.com and click Give Now and be a part of the 1,000 monthly partners that we're believing for. I have a special gift that I'll send to you today, and I'll say thank you in advance. Until next time, thanks for listening. See you later.